Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15, and a part of the second verse. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, a part of verse 2. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In which words are conveyed unto us the sense of the wondrous condescension of the most glorious God, that he should come in the flesh, and that he should so dwell amongst men as to be identified with them in their needs, that he might abundantly supply those needs, and that he might bring them home unto the Father. Truly it is a wondrous mystery, the truth of the Trinity, the triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yet in this chapter we have that glorious fact plainly brought before us in the teaching which is given here. And we must remember that every person in the Godhead is co-equal. There is no difference between them in that wherein they are all in the divine essence, that they are all eternal, that there can be no cessation of that which relateth unto their work and their will. When we consider the greatness of eternity and all that is contained within it, then we shall perceive a little of how life down here is but vanity. It is like a puff of smoke that soon passeth away. We are here, as it were, one day, and we are gone tomorrow. And what are we going to enter into but a ceaseless, timeless eternity? How essential it is that we should know that we are prepared for that time. How essential it is that we should know the one in whom all our hopes are placed for eternal life. How essential it is that we should seek after the knowledge of him, that we may indeed be made possessors of that portion which God in his infinite love as the Father has provided for us in his Son, and which the Spirit so communicates unto us. Yes, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And this man was always a mystery. He was always a wonder unto the people. They never could grasp nor comprehend the meaning of him. And they certainly could not grasp the meaning of all that he was doing. His very character was beyond them. They had never met an individual like this, so unique in himself, one who could turn and say to others, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" So holy, so sinless, so blameless in everything that he did and everything that he said. truly an enigma unto the world. It is beyond them. They cannot grasp the significance and the wonder of it. And it's always been the same, and it always will be until the end of the ages. Many of themselves are all mistaken. They wander, as it were, in their ignorance and in their blindness, because they do not recognize this man. They do not know nor understand the mystery and the wonder of this man, because this man is so beyond them, although they don't want to confess it. Oh no, they would rather delegate him unto a far inferior position. And yet they always have the consciousness of the something in this man that seems, as it were, to be out of this world, supernatural, that which dominates their feelings and oftentimes makes them to wonder. Yes, in and of ourselves we can never enter into the mystery of this man. With all our own natural abilities and all our intellects, as it were, on the strain after these things, man at the end shall but be filled with folly. He shall have to own that he knows nothing in and of himself for the wonder of this man. And you know, we have here that wherein the Pharisees and the scribes are murmuring about him. They couldn't understand if he was what he professed to be, why he did not consign all of his labors unto them, why he did not give himself freely to their service. Oh, they have heard that wherein he had, yea, Sabbath after Sabbath, entered into the synagogue and had taken place in that which related unto the reading of the law and so forth. But oh, he had always gone beyond it. He had always exceeded that which was relative unto their own formal worship. He had introduced into their synagogue something that was extraordinary. Yes, and they couldn't understand it in consequence. Why, there is a man here, and the Lord heals him. There is a woman here who has been bound for many years by Satan, and the Lord looses her. Have you ever read in the Gospels how that nearly every time he went into the synagogue there was some significant feature about him that, as it were, was entirely away from that which was normal and formal and natural, and therefore they couldn't understand him. You know, if he came this morning and worked a miracle within one of your hearts, if he came and in the power of his grace visited you, and so made known his healing power and his energizing grace, there would be many that wouldn't understand you. They would see it, but they would not be able, as it were, to get to the bottom of it. They can't understand it. Oh yes, although I seem to divert here, don't wonder if you are misunderstood. Don't wonder if you are healed by him, if there shall indeed be raised at you not the finger of the world, but the finger of professing Christians who should know better. Always ready to condemn that which is not in accordance with their own formal worship and their own tradition. Now everything must go on, as it were, in that placid, complacent, apathetic state in which things have always gone on. They must never be changed, but when the Lord comes, he changes it. When the Lord comes, he alters things. Our old things then pass away, and the new things come in. And by that, not the new things that the world would introduce, but that wherein his love and his grace and his mercy shall be abundantly displayed in the conversion of sinners. And these Pharisees and these scribes, why, this was altogether outside their own thinking. In that wherein he so brings before us these parables, he shows how that they were utterly out of sympathy with his own divine heart. No, they wanted to keep it all to themselves. And they wanted him so to show his loyalty and his fidelity, if he was what he professed to be, by remaining likewise. And he didn't. And that was where the quarrel was. And that was where they were continually arguing with him. And that is why they pestered him and murmured about him and tried to discredit him wherever he went and whatever he did. They were at him all the time. And they thought that this was, as it were, one type of that which would expose his hypocrisy, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. As though he's not one of us, said the Pharisees and the scribes, he's one of them, one of those sinners, that unwashed, that unkempt crowd that never darken the temple doors. They never come into the courts. We never see them, and yet he who doth come in, when he goeth out, behold how the populace go after him. They don't come into the house to hear that wherein the law is read. They don't attend unto our customs and our practices, but see that wherein, when he is without, the common people hear him gladly. Why, see how they follow him in droves down the road. Yes, there is a difference, isn't there? My friend, we want to be very careful that we don't get into the position of the Pharisees and the scribes. And we want to see to it that that which relateth unto our own characters is nothing that which answereth unto the requirements of men, but in that which answereth unto the requirements of God. For Jesus was doing the will of his Father. He was obedient unto that wherein he had been called unto this work by his Father. And therefore, in all that he did and said amongst sinners, you have the transcribing of the will of God, that wherein there is the dictating out unto us of the purpose and the will of God toward poor sinners, that this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. But are we going to put all the blame, as it were, upon the Pharisees and the scribes, relative to this opprobrious remark that they intended it to be? And have made? You know, there may be many that are without, that have no connection with that which is a relative unto the temple, and yet in themselves are so sure of themselves. They're so self-satisfied, so self-contained, so wrapped up in the sense of their own goodness and their good work, and all the rest of it, that they despise these sinners. They look upon them with scorn. I would never do a thing like that. I would never be guilty of doing such. Yes, there's plenty of nominal Christians about. There are plenty who are always ready, as it were, to pass judgment upon others. They have no need. They're all right. What need have they of repentance? What need have they that they should so be thou numbered amongst this people who obviously have, as it were, gone outside the law? Oh no. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Are you one of those nominal Christians? You don't see much in him. Yea, I was going to say, he doesn't convey any wonder unto you. Your heart has never known what it is to bow down before him and to worship him. There is no beauty in him that you should desire. Why? Because you're perfectly all right in your own opinion. You're so perfectly sure of yourself. Why, even when he bids you, yea, in that wherein you have so heard the word of the gospel, so to come unto his supper, oh, you refuse because you say other things in life demand your attention. What are you saying? Jesus, on another occasion, was asked by the disciples about this matter. You know, the Pharisees on that occasion turned to the disciples and they said, how is it that your master eateth with publicans and sinners? And the Lord said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, that he requireth mercy and not sacrifice. Yes, this man receiveth sinners, but there are people who are brought to love and admire and to see the beauty and the wonder of this man. Who are they? Well, let the Lord answer the question. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Have you an ear to hear the wonders that are so spoken concerning this man? And in the hearing has your eye been opened to discern the glory of the one who hath done these things? And in beholding the glory of that one, have you known what it is to believe on him? I think of that wherein our Lord met with that man who had been excommunicated from the temple service. And how that our Lord meeting him, and he was outside the temple. And the Lord came to him and he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Ah, said the man, who is he that I may believe on him? And the Lord said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that hath spoken unto thee. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now this is what I'm hoping for today, that our eyes may be opened unto the discernment of the wonders of him who is so set forth before us in these words. They contain a glorious truth, though they come from a strange source. They contain within themselves that which is all sufficient for our salvation and eventual glorification, for all is contained in him who receiveth sinners. Then may God graciously grant unto us that I so, that we may indeed behold the wonders of him who even at this present time sitteth in the glory. He who is the Lamb of God, and yet the King of kings and Lord of lords. The same man who will eventually come again. A and every eye on that occasion shall see him. And when he comes, he will come with oxen. He will come in all the glory of the accomplishment of his own glorious work of redemption. And his glory shall shine forth. And you know, the three disciples had a glimpse of it when he was here upon earth. The curtain, as it were, was drawn aside for a little while. They had only seen the outside, that which related unto this blessed man. But when the curtain, as it were, was drawn aside, the veil was drawn aside on the Mount of Transfiguration, then his face did shine as the sun. And his clothing was as white. Mighty hearer, that is a glimpse of the holiness, the glory of this man. Yes, after it was over, they saw no man save Jesus only. Elijah, Moses have gone. They have spoken of him. His glory is the end of all that the prophets and all that the gospel has to proclaim unto us. And where is this glory? It is in this man. This man. This man. He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Look then at this man. Not with bigotry, not with bias, but in that wherein we hope that our hearts have been instructed to hearken, to hear what he has to say unto us, to draw near unto him, to have that ear opened, not to what man may have to tell us, and not to what our own hearts may have to tell us, but opened unto the truth as it is in Jesus, this man. It is only as we know the wonder of this man that we can see the wonder of that wherein he receiveth sinners. So let us look at him. God open their eyes by his Holy Spirit. Who is this man? He is the image of the invisible God. Yes, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. Who have we here in this man? The indwelling God. Yes, here is that wherein there is the dwelling within him of the fullness of the Godhead. He is not simply a likeness. He is not simply a similarity. He is the exactness, the express image, the brightness of his glory. Of this man. See where he is. Look at him. As he is now a man amongst men. See him as he is found as that individual, as it were, with men. Oh, there is no seeming greatness about him unto the eye of a natural man. but see him in the wonder of the condescension of the greatness of the grace whereby God hath in mercy visited men that they might have this knowledge of himself. For since the fall, man hath verily said within his heart, or through the ages of history, there is no God. He has ignored God, he has put God out of it. Yes, in all his religions and everything else, God is exempt. He only comes in sometimes as an afterthought. But here is one who is amongst men, who is very God and very man. And all that we can ever know of God is to be found wholly and solely in this man. You'll never find it anywhere else. You'll never realize the reality of God in your own heart, save as you know what it is to receive the truth of this man, Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. No man hath seen God at any time. The Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It is only through then that declaration that we can know God. To this end, this man is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here is God in this man. And here is the putting forth in this man of the purpose and the will and the thought of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have all been conjoined in that wherein there has been a glorious covenant of grace drawn up. And it requires that that covenant of grace that has been decided upon and that which is to be fulfilled should be sealed with blood, that it should be made sure through the death of the testator unto all them whose names are written therein, that all the blessings and all the riches and all the inheritance might indeed be given unto them. And here it is in this man. What did he say concerning himself when he was here, when he was speaking unto the people, yea, and the Jews, when they were, as it were, seeming to contradict everything that he said? He said, this is the will of my Father, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Yes, the will of my Father and the will of God is recorded in that wherein there is the expression of the thought. The expression of the thought is discerned in that which is spoken. And the thoughts of God are to our generations. And in God those thoughts come to us. And they find that wherein the supreme reality of all those thoughts doth consist, in him who is the man. The man who, being one with God, took that which was relative unto his rightful glory, and that wherein all the angels of God worshipped him, and he laid it all on one side. And he came down at the express will of his Father and in accordance with his own delight with the sons of men. And he took upon himself that nature which had been prepared for him by the Holy Ghost. And hearing God the Eternal Son so dwells and abides amongst us as Emmanuel, God with us. And he speaketh unto us the words which he has heard with his Father. He doeth that which he hath seen with his Father. It's all going to be sealed and ratified and made sure. And where is it all to be found? The very essence of it, the very basis of it, the very foundation of my faith and of my hope. It is in this man who receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And not only is he put before us here as the word, who have ears to hear, let him hear. But it is in that wherein he is the treasury of God. The treasury is containing within himself all the riches. There was no laying aside when he came from heaven of that which was relative to all the divine excellencies. They were still his. But he came down here and humbled himself. He was made flesh. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. For the sake of those whom his Father loved like he did the prodigal. Yea, with a prodigal love, he determined to save. That was it. He saw me lost and ruined in the fall, yet loved me. Notwithstanding all, when like the prodigal I went afar off, and I said, I'll have no more of it. I'll have no more of him or of religion. Yet he's brought me back. Yet he's made me to see the loveliness of this man. And not only to see it, but to realize how that God stretcheth out in this man and taketh me in and receiveth me and eateth with me. This man in whom all the riches of the divine love, in all its excellency, of all the divine grace and the divine mercy and the divine compassion and goodness cometh down unto us. This man, none of them would do. He is the only object of faith, the only place for your trust. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Well, leave the subject here for the time being. But oh, may you this afternoon, as you may think upon these things, know what it is to prove your reception by him. Even as he entereth into you and you enter into him in a blessed communion whereby and everlasting grace. Oh, this is a true and a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed Lamb, shalt take me to thee as I am. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Amen.